Hi, and welcome to Awaken Your Inner Wisdom. I'm Cissy Williams, and in this interview, you'll meet the lovely Asha Frost, who's an Indigenous medicine woman, healer, and soul seer. Asha talks about her beautiful oracle deck called the Sacred Medicine Oracle, where each card carries a sacred energy, and she also does a powerful reading for all of us. So let's head over to this interview now, where you meet the amazing Asha Frost. Hi, Asha. Thank you so much for coming today. It's always a pleasure connecting with you. I absolutely love speaking with you. So thank you for coming today.
Oh, it's such a gift to be invited. It's so nice to see you again.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about your Sacred Medicine Oracle deck, which I absolutely love. I use it a lot, and I use it all the time on my shamanic trainings because I love the depth of the medicine in this deck. And so thank you for creating this deck. And I would love to hear about your journey in how you have been able to retrieve and kind of resurrect and revive this very deep ancestral medicine that I feel these cards carry. Because I would imagine it's been a big journey to do that.
Yeah, thank you so much for seeing that and for naming it, because I think that all folks don't really always see that, right? The path that we take to get there, the inner work that we do to pave that path to even open up for us. So I think that that really has been the work of the last two decades in my work, is coming to an inner place where my vision can match that worthiness of feeling like it's time to share these, where that vision can match that decolonial, re-indigenized space that I'm now taking up in my blood and bones that say, you know, it's time for these to come out into the world. So it really has been about taking space, I think, and feeling worthy of taking up space to even share them with the world. They came in. They were ready. The spirits of these cards were ready. I've been speaking about creating a deck for a very long time and not quite sure how that opportunity would open up. But when it did, they all came through really effortlessly. There was 56 beings that wanted to be included in this deck. And of course, I love them sitting in a circle or being in a circle or dancing in a circle as kin with one another. So I wanted them to be aspects of creation that support and honor each other. And that's what it felt like in the creation of this, that the aspects of creation that wanted to come forward were there. And I remember making a list and thinking, okay, spirit, who wants to be part of this? And each card came through it was like a medicine being embodied that would hold space as the message would be channeled through. And that was where the messages would come from. And now they are actually here, right? Like I pick them up and I think, oh my gosh, they hold this vibration of that medicine being that stood in front of my vision. So it feels still pretty magical to me that they were birthed into being.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I often actually ask that question, how was the Oracle deck born? And I love to hear that birthing process. So they came through really quickly and easily for you. But in order for that to happen, you would have then been on this journey for a long, long time for you to be able to receive that, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. So if we were to go back a little bit in time, can you remember a pivotal moment that kind of was that initial entry point for you to realize or to recognize or to hear the whispers of that it was time for you to start to journey in and start to do this very deep healing?
I think those moments, because I can feel it in my body, they came up as fear. I think there were moments of, it feels prickly a little bit still. So it feels like moments of fear that would come up every time I would go to use my voice. I would go to write something. I would go to share something with the world. I would feel that prickling of fear that would say, you're not allowed to share this. We need to hide this. We need to keep this sacred. We need to think about all the trauma that's happened to your ancestors of these teachings being taken from you, of being co-opted from you, of being stripped from you. And I remember going through years of that process, to be honest. It was years until I came to a place to see, if I'm not to share it, then who's going to share it? If I'm not going to be the one, the voice, then who's going to do it? And also seeing my children, I think it was seeing my children and thinking, I don't want that burden to have to be on them if I don't live out how my ancestors are speaking to me and calling me and pushing me. It felt like a push. And also, a lot of these teachings were being shared by non-Indigenous people. I came to that truth because my fear was, what would the Indigenous community, the people that I want the belonging from the most, what are they going to say? Other people can criticize and come back with certain things, and I have the capacity to manage that. But that belonging that I yearn for, that I think we all yearn for as in humanity, that belonging to that tribe and anything that threatens that felt so unsafe. So that's where the fear was coming from. And I had to get very rooted in the truth that there are people already sharing these teachings in a multitude of ways. So why can't I take up the space and be the voice? And it was an invitation sort of from myself to myself to say, are you going to take that invitation up? Because there was nobody that was patting me on the head saying, yes, Asha, I give you permission. You are allowed. This will be welcomed by all of these people and all of these hearts. I had no clue. I had no idea. So it was those moments of, I will say terror, moments of terror that invited me deeper into a knowing of why I'm here.
Wow. Wow. And I would imagine that for every stage where you become more and more visible, sharing this, you would have had more layers of fears come up as you're breaking through that old hold that fear had on you and on many of us. Yeah.
And I'll share a story about that because I can still, I love when I speak to you because my body, I feel these somatic experiences and they are part of the storytelling. So I want to thank you for your medicine in that way. I remember I was filming a course with Hay House. My book, my deck was just about to come out and there was a reviewer that had received my deck. And I opened my Instagram and I saw I was tagged and it was the first review that I'd ever seen or received of my deck. And this reviewer really wanted, Hay House really wanted them to review it because it was an Indigenous person that was going to review it. And my deepest fear happened. They said, I feel very uncomfortable with these closed practices being shared with the world. And this was my first review. And I don't think any of us are super really prepared as we open something up for what's going to be on the other end. And I remember I wanted to shut down. And in that moment, because I was recording another course with Hay House, I thought, oh my goodness, I can't share any of this. All of that ancestral trauma came up because of that one review. And I'm sharing just to be honest, because I think as we take these leaps of faith and we put our medicine out in the world, it's such an invitation for those old wounds to come to rise and to be met with tenderness and to be met with compassion, to be met with tears, all of those things. And oftentimes we need a witness to that in those moments. So I just really want to speak to that because I think that sometimes we hold back because we're so afraid of that. And I want to say it happened. I'm still here. My medicine has now touched so many people and I'm so grateful for that. So those highs and lows, right? They happen along our path, they happen along the journey. But that was definitely a moment where I wanted to just hide and stop, just stop it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I can feel that. And I think many of us can relate to that and feel that. And how wonderful that you were able to still, as you say, hold yourself in that tenderness and still keep on rising, still keep on sharing, because that is then also the message you pass on to your children, that it is okay to still be you, to still share your truth, your medicine, no matter what other people say, because it is time. So how wonderful. That's such a beautiful, talk about breaking old bonds, old patterns, just in that event where you still chose your path, your truth.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, those are pivotal moments. So I love how you ask about those moments because they always do come flooding back, don't they? And then we can remember.
Yeah, I love hearing about these pivotal moments because they really are those choice points that we have, that we all face on our journey. So hearing about someone else's journey and how they were able to still make that choice that honored their soul's path, I feel it's very inspiring. You know, it's, and also to realize that it's hard. You know, we have all these emotions, we're human. Instead of us thinking that once we start walking on our soul's path, it's really easy. At least that's not, that hasn't been my experience, that it's really easy. Challenges will come for every kind of next phase where you are expanding into something more.
Yeah, true.
It's like you're giving birth to yourself over and over and over again. So it's like those birthing pains.
Totally.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. So all the cards in your deck, they are beautiful and they obviously carry like a consciousness, like you say, a medicine, a spirit being. Do you have any favorites? Anyone that have kind of spoken to you the most? I know like a mother, you can't have favorites. And obviously you are the mother to, or the caretaker or the one that kind of been birthing them through you. But have you got any of the favorites that speak to you the most?
I do. There was some that the art came back and they took my breath away. And it was because the spirit of the energy came through so deeply in the art card. So, I mean, bear is one of my allies. So that really spoke to me. The bear card, actually all of the animal cards were really beautiful. I also love the strawberry card, which is the card of love. It's Odeimin, which means the heartberry. So I love that card. And my third pick is, I don't know if I can find it here, but it's the seer card. And it's a woman and she's got like just that seer energy coming through so brightly like a star. So those are the ones that really stand out to me as my favorites. And I really think it was just that melding of the artwork and the vision that came back. And I thought, oh, that was just exactly how I envisioned it. Because it's a bit of a challenging process to put into words what you're seeing and have that translated and come back to you.
Yeah. So, yeah, because they're so, you know, alive within you.
Yeah.
So then to have someone else capturing that, and it must be really hard, actually, for both of you.
Yes.
For you to receive that and for the illustrator to be able to capture it. But how beautiful that they are really, really exquisite.
Yeah, the artist is Steph Littlebird, and she did a really, really, really beautiful job. And we come from a different territory. She's in the southwestern of the United States. So we're both from Turtle Island, but we're from very different landscapes and very different First Nations. They would call it tribes in the States. So it was also a melding of two medicines in that way. And it's something that I had to grow and learn with as well and realize, oh, right, we live in completely different territories. And sometimes it needs a deeper explanation because the lands are very different where we both come from.
Oh, wow. I love that. So again, that's been another healing, weaving, melting connection journey in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. So how can we use this deck? What would be some spreads that you would recommend or how we can tap into the medicine here?
I really love, and this, you see this in a lot of decks, right? The sort of shadow light, because I love pulling the medicine of the shadow and asking with a two card spread, what is in the shadow that needs to be seen or what needs to be tended to here? And then as we tend to it, what is being birthed on the other end? I love that dynamic of that two card spread in that way. And it's a simple one, I think, that we can do when we're struggling. People forget, they do their daily spreads. But I think sometimes we can forget to go to the cards when we're feeling a bit in our trauma, in our wounding, a bit triggered, a bit ungrounded. So I love that spread for those times where we think, what is being activated here? And then what's on the other end of this? I also love the medicine wheel spread. asking about phases and asking about the phases of where our creation is, what is being dreamed, what do we need to nurture, what do we need to let go of, and what needs to be integrated. So using that sort of medicine wheel energy and the teachings of the medicine wheel, I really love. And I love myself a one card spread of asking, even what am I dreaming into being, or what am I not seeing here about my vision? What am I not seeing here about my next step? That feels really potent about this deck. This deck, I feel like, has the medicine to break through the barriers or the parts that feel stuck. I think the medicine infused in them has that catalyst to give your spirit a little push forward and say, let's burn this off. Let's clear this out. You know, it has that plant medicine sage smudge card. It has a fire spark card. So it has the energy to transmute and transform. And when you hold the cards, I hope that you feel that energy coming in so that you have more spaciousness to create and to be in your medicine.
You absolutely feel that when you take them. I remember one of the first cards I picked was the wolf. Mm. And I work very much with wolf and bear. They're two of my Fylgias from the Norse tradition, my ancestral Fylgias. And I loved it. I loved your interpretation also of the wolf, but it was so perfect for me at that time to have that wolf energy come in, creating boundaries, burning away all the stuff that shouldn't be there. It was perfect. So yeah, I absolutely get that. So would you mind doing a reading for us all?
I would love to. So folks often ask me, like, what is the best way to use the deck to write to if you open a new deck? I know lots of people have steps along the way. I want people to trust their own medicine, knowing in this way, I do have some instructions in the guidebook of what you can do, but I want you to trust your heart too and trust your ancestral guidance on how they're asking you to use it. I know some folks knock on a deck, they blow on a deck. I love using smoke medicine to clear my deck. And I'm the type of person that I'm okay with other people touching my deck. That feels okay to me. So it just really depends on what feels sacred to you. But because it's called the Sacred Medicine Oracle, it's an invitation into the sacred and into intention.
Okay. Actually, I have a question on that.
Yes, yes.
What is your interpretation of sacred? What does sacred mean to you?
I think it's anything that brings us deeper into connection.
Mm.
I love really that. Think it's anything that brings us deeper into connection. Yeah, that feels really, really important.
Yeah.
And I do want to speak to that a little bit because I feel like reconnection, reclamation, all of those words that we use, sometimes they don't sound as exciting or as, I don't know, sexy as abundance and manifestation. But I really believe that connection is where it's at. And that is going to be the grounding, rooting point to all of those other things that be here in the world. So how can you bring yourself closer to connectedness? I'm going to do a three card spread, just asking about the energy that perhaps needs to be transmuted, energy from the past that might be rising right now, that we can ask the medicine to clear. And then the present medicine of what's really rooted for us right now, and then the vision for the future. So, that's interesting. So plantkin is the medicine, the past medicine, or the medicine that we're kind of looking behind us and just sort of saying, okay, so this is sensitivity. This card is really about honoring the sensitive nature of your soul, honoring that you know you are the one who is highly discerning. You pick up on all the tendrils in the universe and in the collective space, trusting that. So if anything, I feel like this is an actual confirmation card to see your sensitivity as that superpower and to honor your ability to pick things from the collective spaces. It's really, really important. And perhaps even asking you to bring a little bit more of that plant medicine into your life, whether it's through a tea or a smoke medicine practice, but perhaps even just bringing more of that into your altar space or your ceremony. Oh, the current card is the Anishinaabe, the good being card. This is about worthiness. This is returning to that divine truth that You came here worthy. There's nothing you need to do to prove your worthiness. Anishinaabe is the culture that I am. And it really is rooted in that word, the good being. And I know we strive for goodness in our lives, maybe as children. This is returning us to that understanding that it's not conditional. You know, it's not conditional. We are unconditionally loved. And I love the child on that card because it invites us to even sit with our child self and remind them of that truth. Because many of us probably were raised in a very conditional way. If you do this, then you will be loved. And this is just celebrate your lovely energy and celebrate that you are divinely worthy. It's so important. And your future card is the roots card, the reconnection. So we talked about connection. So this is making me curious about looking for moments of connection, looking for moments of reconnection, especially in the world right now, where I think we are all desperate for connection. I think the last couple of years have fractured so many of those connections and even fractured us from the connection to the Earth Mother. So how can we make connection a priority in all ways, heart-to-heart connection, spirit-to-spirit connection? How can we see the world and each other in that lens? I think is really important. So honor your sensitivity, honor the beauty of your discernment. Know that you are worthy, divinely worthy in this world. Come back to that child truth and then look for the connection. That is what Spirit's asking for you. So that is it.
Beautiful. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. I can see and feel where that is relevant to me. And I'm sure everyone who's listening can apply that immediately into their own lives as well. Thank you. It's been amazing. I love your wisdom. I love what you are sharing. I love your medicine. And I really honor the depth of the journey that you've been on and that you continue to be on. And I know that you're holding it all in your body. It's like your body is your tuning fork, isn't it? Showing you what needs to be transformed and healed and addressed. And that's not always an easy path.
No, that's so true. Thank you for being who you are and holding this space. And thank you for the listeners too, for being here and in community and connection. I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
To find out more about Asha and her beautiful work, visit ashafrost.com.